My dear friend, this is Keith Nolan. I'm so sorry to learn that you are suffering bereavement, and only wish that this could be a personal note or a tailor-made recording. I would like you to know, however, that because prayer is bound by neither time nor space, my thoughts and prayers are with you as you are kind enough to listen to these few words. I do know what it is to be parted from a dear one through the death of their physical body. My own darling wife was taken with cancer after 8 years of suffering, mostly known only to the two of us until the last 3 weeks. So what I long to share with you is not just a bunch of empty phrases. I hope and pray rather that, in the will of God, our brief meditation together will be a time of deep fellowship in the Spirit and a means of encouragement and even of inspiration. For as we meet together in harmony with each other and with Jesus, our dear Saviour and Lord, who understands our hearts and our deep feelings of loss and perhaps bewilderment and even maybe anger, it is his will and plan for you, and I've every confidence here, to draw near right now to comfort you, to cheer you, to lift and help and encourage and heal you in the deepest part of your emotional and thought life. In front of me is a jotting I made some time ago, and I'm sure it will help you at this time. It has to do with George Muller, that man of quiet yet dynamic faith, faith that received many hundreds of answers to prayer, prayers that were divinely answered to the very letter. You may know that without any money at all, he used his faith in God to establish several orphanages, housing hundreds of bereaved and unwanted girls and boys, never asking for one penny piece from anyone. Here's what he said when his darling wife died. For 62 years and 5 months, I had a beloved wife, and now in my 92nd year, I am left alone. But I turn to the ever-present Jesus as I walk up and down in my room and say, Lord Jesus, I am alone and yet not alone. You are with me. You are my friend. Now, Lord, comfort me, strengthen me, give to your poor servant everything you see he needs. And my prayer for you at this time is that you will be brought to this place if you are not already there. May you know the Lord Jesus experimentally as your true friend at all times and in all circumstances, the good, the bad, and the downright horrible. The Bible reveals him as the friend who will never leave you, never forsake you. I'm reminded too of the beautiful fact that however things may appear just now, death is not necessarily loss, except a temporary one, and the parting will certainly not be permanent. A little girl whose baby brother had just died asked her mother, Where's baby? Gone to be with Jesus. A day or two later, while talking with a friend, the mother said, I'm so grieved to have lost baby. The little girl overheard and remembered what her mother had so recently said. Looking up into her mother's tear-stained face, she asked, Mummy, is a thing lost when you know where it is? Of course not, answered mother in some surprise. Well then, how can baby be lost when he's gone to be with Jesus? Her mother never forgot this. It was the truth, and the truth comforted her while the raw edge of bereavement slowly faded. A few moments ago I said that not only that death is not necessarily loss except a temporary one, the parting will certainly not be permanent for those who truly love each other. In a meditation like this, it isn't necessary or desirable to delve into biblical theology, and offer lots of so-called proof texts, except to say that this marvellous fact is clear to anyone who will read the Bible, the Old and New Testaments, without prejudice, and find out for themselves what a handful of mistranslated words really mean. The truth is, God, our loving and eternal Father, is a lot nicer than most churches, and sadly, most Christians, give him credit for. He does not throw people into everlasting punishment and damnation. And one day, a rightly translated Bible will say so. Long before then, of course, the church's high-ups will have egg all over their faces and eat humble pie and change their hard-hearted and loveless teaching. I'm hoping that day will arrive when they are honest enough and humble enough to do this, hopefully in my lifetime, but I'm not holding my breath. If and when that time comes, our churches will be transformed, and the good news will be the truly good news it was always meant to be. So I say again, as strongly and as categorically as I can, your dear one's death is no more than a temporary loss. The parting from those we love is not permanent, whatever we may have been taught to the contrary. You will meet again and renew your love and friendship. Psalm 68:5 tells us that God is the father of orphans and the champion of widows. And I can add from experience of widowers too. He is the champion of all who are bereaved, including you. He will not allow the needy to be ongoingly oppressed, whatever the cause. His ministry and delight is to save you in and through your present grief. As Spurgeon, the notable Victorian preacher, used to say, he is the president of orphanages and the protector of widows. He is so glorious that he rides on the heavens, but so compassionate that he remembers the poor of the earth. He does, and he remembers you, not that he's ever for one moment forgotten you. Allow me to pray with you and for you. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your everlasting love and compassion. Thank you for being near my listening friend just now, closer than breathing and nearer than hands and feet. Be pleased to shine into and through this dear one's life. A sense of your enveloping presence will make all the difference just now. Assure them that their loved one is safe within your life-enhancing love, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. Please help this dear one to be daring enough to zealously and courageously, and even if necessary, stubbornly, look beyond their present grief to the one who has both them and their departed loved one in his thoughts and within the embrace of his everlasting love, however they may feel about these facts just now. Thank you, Father. Amen. I close with the wonderfully helpful and encouraging thoughts from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, in the Message paraphrase. We read, "All praise to the God and Father of our Master Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times, and before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times, so that we can be there for that person, just as God was there for us." May this be true for you, dear friend, and may God bless you and cause you to experience his loving presence.